So this also leads me to answering the question around Honorable King about next year, because part of what part of the certainty that we have this year that we didn't have last year, Honorable Members, is that the NSFAS shortfall is actually addressed over the current medium term, so that there is time, you know, built in for some of these recommendations to be taken forward more substantially and for longer term planning around the student funding policy to take place. So at least we know that around the policy decisions, we're able to inform universities and TVET College of those policy changes before the end of this academic year, in time to plan for 2023. Of course, not all the issues will be solved in the immediate period, but certainly there is that time built into the system to allow for that. And the MCT was very much part of that discussion last year. So just a few points I wanted to raise on the funding. Just also to thank the members. I think today was actually really very useful for us in the department to just see the kind of issues around integrated systems, you know, which we have been talking about and which the minister has been talking about for a long time. So NSFAS, for example, draws much more substantively on integrated systems across government. You will have seen, you know, the use of SARS and Department of Home Affairs data, SASA data as well. But what the presentations today clearly show, especially the AG's presentation, is that there's a real need for integrated systems across government in a variety of spaces, and particularly the issue of data cross-checking with the citizenness. So that's something we will take up urgently, because it is something that really needs to be addressed urgently. I'm glad that the question was asked of the AG about whether those students that might be double dipping are students in, you know, studying at the same time in the same year, because we want to check that obviously some NSFAS students would be studying and then may go on once they've graduated to do CETA programs. But clearly, if it's the same year, then there's something that we need to look into. This idea of better coordination is also, by the way, something that the MTT has also picked up on, and there are some recommendations on that issue as well. Just in terms of some of the targets not being met as a result of COVID, the main reason for that is there's two issues in terms of the university targets that were not met last year. The one is a very real issue around COVID and the work integrated learning component of some of the core, the key scarce skills programs, including your engineering and others, and the inability because of the pandemic, which wasn't just in 2020, but also impacted on the 2021 academic year and therefore impacted on students being able to complete. So that's the one issue. But we are confident that the targets will be met over the MTSF period, because they are, you know, five-year targets. And then, of course, there were some projects, say, on the UCDP, for example, and you can see some of this in the report from the department that weren't met because of genuine delays in implementing those projects as a result of COVID. Honorable Letsia, you raised the issue of the NSFAS applications process, and we did hear get a report about what happened last week. We haven't seen any big concerns being raised or further challenges raised, but certainly the problems around the applications process tend to blow up towards the end of the applications period. But we will follow up with NSFAS and get a report from them as soon as possible so that we can track what's actually going on and whether there are problems. If there are problems, we can intervene in them as soon as possible. I didn't quite get the issue. Honorable King, you raised the question about the Ombuds office, and I didn't quite get the question, so perhaps we can follow up on that at a later stage. But we are starting work on whether or not we would put in place an Ombuds office and what that office would do and how it would operate. I think you are seeing that there's a number of interventions happening at the moment. There's two gazettes that came out this week in relation to the MUT administration and the CUT assessment. And as you know, the UNISA assessment is underway. So I mean, that work is quite substantial at the moment, and hopefully we can complete those projects in a short period of time. In terms of the remuneration reports of the VCs, indeed that report was received from the CHE and did go into the cabinet processes. So at some point, the minister will be making a decision about when and how that should be engaged with further. I can't give much more detail on that at the moment because it has been in the cabinet process. In terms of Honourable King, in terms of the feasibility study on the new universities, yes, it's absolutely true that there isn't currently a budget allocated for those universities. But of course, we can't really know what the costs will be of establishing those institutions without having done the feasibility work. And of course, that work in terms of the Ekurhuleni University has been complete. An initial feasibility report has recently been completed. And the report on the Hammanskraal Forensic Policing University, that report is being finalized at the current moment. Once those documents have been looked at and engaged with, the next phase would obviously be then to look at the possible allocations from the fiscus and to engage with National Treasury. I don't have the exact figures with me in terms of the cost of the feasibility work, but it was relatively low, less than approximately around 5 million that we allocated to that project. I would have to go and check on that figure. In terms of the question about SAOS, SAOS is not an entity of the department. SAOS is an independent representative body of elected university SRCs, and it would be therefore necessary to request SAOS separately if there was a request to look at their budgetary issues. And then also, Honourable Mananiso, just picking up on the language policy issue, most definitely the language policy is being implemented from 2022. There's a great deal of excitement at universities. At the department level, we're looking at how we can support universities more comprehensively in implementing the policy. But if you are interested, there was a really exciting workshop held by the Teaching and Learning Strategy Group of USAF last year. They have a subgroup on African languages and the teaching and learning of African languages, which met, I think, in about September last year. And all the papers and documents from that seminar workshop are available online, and I think you might really be interested in looking at some of the exciting work that is happening in institutions. Chairperson, I hope I've addressed some of the questions. Acting DG, I'm sure we can respond further in writing if there's anything that I've missed. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Indeed, Dr. Louis, I should think you have addressed a number of areas quite very critical within the area of the university education. We shall then invite DDG Zungu.
Thank you very much, Acting DG. Greetings to the Honourable Chair of the Portfolio Committee, as well as the Honourable Members present today, and all our colleagues that are present on the platform. I will try to sum up some of the questions that have been raised, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. But let me start with the correction on the presentation by FFSC in terms of the number of artisans that have been trained. It reported an underachievement in that regard, that out of 770, we have only trained 12. In actual fact, that target we have overachieved. We have trained just over about 858 instead of 770, which then reflects an overachievement of about 88 in total. And this is due to the fact that the number of trade test centers have been increased, as the minister has already alluded to, that we are now sitting just around 32 trade test centers, which then allows us to actually trade test more artisans in that regard. So that number is sitting at 858 instead of the 12 that was reported. But let me then go straight to Honorable Letsie. Yes, in as much as there's no correlation between the issues around the financial statements meeting the required standards and the issue of funding, The issue of funding, Honorable Chair, has got some historical background or history that we should not ignore. If I, for instance, sketch the challenge that the sector is faced with, if we have to go with the trajectory of enrolling 1.25 million TVET students by 2030 in terms of the NDP targets, that would mean that we'll need an additional 14 billion per annum if we have to phase it out over the next 8 years. By 2030, it means that our budget will have to increase by 1.8 billion every year so that we are able to reach that target. So it has some history to that, but it has no correlation to the issues of the standards. But indeed, we are taking note on the issues of the deficiencies in our systems. And I must say, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, that there has been some interventions that are targeted towards this shortcoming that we are seeing, particularly around the issues of financial management and risk management has been raised by a number of Honorable Members. One of the major challenges is that in terms of us having the ability to attract the required skills, it's subjected to what we offer. We have done a skills audit in terms of the deputy principals, finance. The majority of them are not chartered accountants. And you know that this kind of work requires chartered accountants. Honorable Etio, you made a reference to the SICA project. It's actually SICA, not CIPA. The SICA project, which attracted a number of retired chartered accountants, which assisted us a lot, but I think there was a bit of disjuncture because when the project started, we were also commencing with the process of recruiting financial management or DP finance in colleges, but there was no correlation. When the project came to an end, we were still finalizing the process of appointing the DP finances. So in other words, upon the arrival and the conclusion of the recruitment and selection processes of DP finances, the chartered accountants that were brought through the SICA project have already concluded. So it means there was a gap in terms of the skills transfer from that end, and therefore we are now seeing the gap. But I must say, through the assistance of some of the CETAs, one of them being FACET as well as HDB CETA, who have been helping us in ensuring that we do improve the skills gap that seems to exist within these colleges. At this point in time, most colleges rely on outsourcing this process of finalizing or ensuring that the financial statements meet the required standards as presented by AG. But also the other matter was around the compliance of the PFMA. Yes, indeed, colleges, because of the gap within the CET Act, they are complying with the PFMA. You recall what happened with the municipalities, which then gave birth to the establishment of the MFMA. It was because of that gap within the local government act as well. So we are now looking at creating what is called the SCOA, which is the standard chart of accounts for all TVET colleges, having also created standardized policies in relation to financial as well as SEM and HR management within the TVET colleges. Those policies are there. What perhaps might be lacking is the issue of ensuring and monitoring that indeed they are adhered to. But we are in the process of ensuring that we create the SCOA for all the colleges, which can then be able to assist us in terms of the classification, the budgeting, recording, reporting of all the receipts and payments within the financial systems of the colleges. But I must also say that the issue of the management system that is used by different colleges, it's also something that we are working towards, has been alluded by a number of honorable members, that we need to have an integrated system, and it is something that we are working towards to achieving. Honorable Lester, I think most of the issues that you raised were also recommendations that we need to look into. and also looking at strengthening our internal audit functions, which is something that we are engaging and embarking on, and also talks to the appointment of external audit members that can serve in these colleges in a way, making sure that we strengthen that area. Moving on to Honorable Mananiso, the issues around the entrepreneurial hubs that we have established to date, we have about 17 of those, of which 15 we were assisted by CEDA in ensuring that there is an alignment and also a partnership with the Department of Small Development, DAS, and ensuring that we don't reinvent the wheel. As we speak, last week, Thursday, at the Fort Bay College, we had the majority of the colleges that are now moving towards this establishment, and we hope that by next year, we'll probably have these hubs in all of our TVET colleges, because indeed, we have seen the growth of a number of TVET graduates that are now wanting to become entrepreneurs. And working together with CEDA and other agencies within the small development department is actually helping us to get closer to those targets. And in terms of the four hubs, again, I think the report that was presented was indicating that it was a zero achievement. There were dependencies in relation to this target. One was around the issue that these hubs required some infrastructural investment, but over and above that, we needed to ensure that we equip them with the necessary and the latest technologies, which had to be imported outside of our country. And with COVID, it became impossible to ensure that this equipment reach our TVET colleges. But as you speak, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, out of the 10, 9 are in the process of being launched. We started on the 11th of August, and we will be doing this launch until about February next year. And all of these hubs are now ready for our colleges to operate in. In terms of the asset management system that was also raised by Honorable Manani, so indeed, there is a need of a proper asset management system. But we also need to do some cleanup, because most of the findings within the asset management relates to PPE, which is the property, plant and equipment. And in there is the fact that some of the colleges cannot provide proof that they own the properties that they operate on. And I think it's something that requires also an engagement with Public Works, because they are occupying properties that are owned by Public Works. Others operate in the traditional under traditional councils, and there are no proof of ownership of those properties, or also the lease agreements for those properties. It is a process that we are now engaged with those respective entities in order to ensure that we assist colleges in addressing this particular manner. But the other issue, Chair, is the issue of the equipment itself, particularly in the training workshops. Remember, they will probably buy an engine for a car or a car engine. When it arrives, the asset management staff will then take the engine as a whole component. But when they do training, they then break it into different pieces. You find that there's a cylinder head, it sits with the barcode, but when you look at the camshaft, for instance, the engine block or the distributor, it's now different pieces that are not tagged. And in that way, when the auditors come and they check this, they find that there are assets that are not even tagged. But when they came, it was one component. So this is one of the areas that we are also assisting colleges to ensure that they comply with. In terms of the certification backlog, which was also raised by Honorable Manani. So we are sitting with just below 0.6%. And part of that is in relation to the historical documentation that talks to the former departments of education before the consolidation of having one department. So those are historical records that are leading to this 0.6%. But other than that, we are sitting at 99.94% in terms of that achievement, and we hope that we will be able to address those areas. We I think in terms of the governance standards, I think I've touched on that, and also the assistance that you are getting from the various sectors, but also from the department itself. There are programs in that regard to try and resolve this. Honorable Mahlatsi, I think I've covered the issues around financial and risk management capacity, that indeed there is a challenge which we are trying to address. But also on the issue of the poor performance and how are we improving as TVETs, we are indeed, if you look, for instance, in terms of our audit outcome, one might say it's very little improvement. But if we use the 2017-2018 as the baseline, from the positive side, we had unqualified with clean audits. In 2017-2018, we had three. We have now improved to about five. We might say it's small improvement, but it's in a positive trajectory. On the unqualified with findings, we have improved from 2017 to now 2021, from 16 to 22. In other words, 10 additional colleges are now on the positive side. But also on the improvement on the negative side, those that have got disclaimed findings as well as qualified with findings. 2017, we had six that had disclaimed audit findings. As we speak now, we are sitting at two. In other words, that number is getting down. And as well as the qualified with findings, we are sitting in 2017 at 25. That number is reduced by almost nine to the colleges. We are now sitting at 16. And we hope that this improvement on the negative side is going to also give us a bigger pool that is now pushing towards the positive side of the audit outcomes. It might seem small, but it is an improvement. Looking at the complexity and the dynamics of the TVET sector, as it stands, and the issues around the resources to ensure that indeed you are able to push towards that. We are working closely with Ms. Mkiba from the planning branch in terms of ensuring that all our targets are smart targets. You recall, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, our first quarter performance, that most of our targets were underachieved. But if you look at improvements, then you can see that there is, except on the system targets, which are sometimes rely on a number of dependencies as well. One of them being the issue of financial resources, as I've alluded to, the issues around infrastructure and so forth to deliver these targets still remains as part of the limitations that we have. But I must say that there has been some slight improvement in relation to those. Honorable Chair and Acting DG, I hope I have covered most of the issues that were relating to the TVET sector. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, DG Zungu. I should think we have covered almost everything I've had during this session. Thanks indeed. I shall now then invite DG Fuchane, CET sector.
Good afternoon, Honourable Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee and the Honourable Members, to the Acting DG, the DDGs present, all the senior managers, management from the Portfolio Committee and DHET. I only have 3 points to make. My name is Thembisa Fuchane. I'm the Deputy Director General, responsible for community education and training. There were comments made by Honourable Mananiso, and request. The first request was that we should provide demographics in terms of the CET lecturers that have been trained. We will provide those demographics in writing and submit through the proper channels to reach the portfolio committee. The second was a comment, and Honorable Mananiso had indicated that CET is not getting the necessary attention it deserves, and that, and this is for the entire department, that this should be attended to. That comment is noted and most welcomed. And certainly the department is going to look into that. The last comment that was received also from Honorable Mananiso had indicated that there were a number of challenges that were presented for CET colleges, and that against those challenges that were presented, we should then provide the program of action, and including the time frames for the implementation of the program of action in terms of those areas identified in the presentation. This linked to the concern regarding not being able to reach the targeted enrollments due to limited infrastructure, challenges of funding, ICT workshops and so forth. And indeed, that will also be provided the requested program of action, including the timeframes, will also be provided. Then in closing, the information that must be provided to the portfolio committee in writing is on the demographics of CT lecturers trained and also on the mitigation of the challenges which have been identified, including the timeframes for dealing with those challenges. Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thank you, Acting DG.
Thanks indeed, DG Futsane. And we're all quite very happy with the concern that our CT sector is not receiving that much support, especially with regard financially. But then I should think with the work that we've been doing in the CT sector, we've had the CT summit, of which there were some collaborations which are quite very positive, and the NSF committed to be funding to the region of above 200 million or some of the work that we are doing within the CT sector. So I read of that. DG Futsane, when is up? Do you want to come now?
My apologies, Acting DG. I'm just reminded by you, an important fact is that we had already started with the implementation of the CET summit resolutions, but I'm pleased to indicate to the honorable members of the portfolio committee and honorable chair that yesterday we issued the NSF award letters to our CET colleges. This is in line with the commitment that was made of 200 million from the National Skills Fund to support the CET colleges in the implementation of skills programs, occupational programs, and non-formal programs. So we have, as of yesterday, issued those NSF award letters. So that's additional funding that is going to the sector. Thank you, Acting DG.
Thanks very much indeed, DG Futsane. Can I invite, perhaps maybe now just towards the end, the Acting CFO, because my recollection now has worked in terms of some of the vacancies that were filled, which are quite very critical in our staff establishment. The one was Chief Director International Relations. We finished with the interviews in that position. So as soon as possible, we'll be expecting that there is a process of appointment. The NSA, the National Skills Authority, as well, the post of an executive officer. We have finalized as well that process within the National Skills Authority. CETA coordination, we've already appointed the chief director, as we have not been having chief director at CETA coordination. So also to prefer the work that is being undertaken within the CETA coordination. The chief director infrastructure as well, we've recently appointed, and then he has already started within our organization. Now I can invite the acting CFO, if is there anything you would wish to raise at this point in time?
Thank you, Acting DG and honorable members. Pertaining to the vacancies, I think the corporate services representative would speak about it. But let me use the opportunity to also speak to some of the issues I think it was raised pertaining to finance. I think Honorable Mkhlatsi had raised one or two issues pertaining to financial matters, and I think one of the issues is the audit action plan. How do we monitor it to ensure positive results and feedback? And yes, we do actually on a monthly basis. The audit action plan actually pertains a carbon copy of what is found in the audit report, and then what we identify is who's the accountable official that they have to respond to it. So we monitor it there and also progress, as well as to give an indication if there is implementation to be done. So that feedback goes right through via DG through to Minister, so that he's abreast of what is contained in the action plan and to achieve those targets. In the same vein, we also have a register of the, as it pertains to irregular expenditure, a register of irregular expenditure. Obviously, the outcomes of irregular expenditure, they all vary from a writing off to condonement to recoverable. So one can give perspective to each one of those that I've mentioned as irregular that we've identified up to now, but you know, leading up to, I think, 6.9 million. We can account for that and can give perspective to that, Chair. The last issue that I recall, if I'm correct, was the what amount was surrendered to Treasury. Now, on the page, on the slide 61, I've indicated the variance or underspent of 0.4%, which represents an amount of 473.995. And that's the amount which we have not spent, and that automatically goes back to the state coffers. A follow-on question to that was, were there any rollover funds? We've applied for rollover because Treasury allows you within a certain percentage. However, it was not approved for the department, so we do not have any rollovers. I think those are the areas I think it pertains to finance. Maybe just another question, I think Honourable King had raised that, was pertaining to the implementing agent or agents. What the department has done so far, we've embarked on a process to employ implementing agents for infrastructure, and our point of departure was to approach the organs of state that render such services. So we've invited them in a process of expression of interest and request of information. And we actually had initially four on the charts that we have invited. But when we requested the expressions, there were only three who responded in KUGA, IDT, and DBSA, the Development Banks of Africa, Independent Development Trust, and KUGA. So what we are doing is we're entering into a memo of agreement with these organs of state to render services of implementing services agency. And then the cost, in fact, what we're applying is the rate that Treasury had released. Treasury released a directive to IDT where they had given in a parameter of rate that is allowed to be charged. So that is what we are using. Hopefully I've covered the areas all, Acting DG and Chairperson. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Acting CFO. Perhaps maybe Chairperson and members of the committee just to round off regarding some of the areas. I should think almost everything we try to cover, but then obviously if there are areas pressing that we could not cover, the Secretariat of Portfolio Committee can just share with us maybe in writing as to which areas that we might have omitted in this process. But then there is the area that has been raised, I should think, earlier quite very clearly was with regard to the integrated information management system for the CITAS. I should think We take that one. It's quite very important. To us, it's not only important for the CITAS, but then it is important for the entire system, the post-school system. Whether we're linking up with universities, TVET colleges, industry, CET sector, and so on. So that system is quite very important. And we know, obviously, the system will be addressing, amongst others, also linkages with other government departments, whether it's Home Affairs, CIPC, Department of Employment and Labor, and so on, so that we can prevent some of the things that we think we can prevent, especially with regard to double dipping or multi-dipping, or multi-dipping if one were to say, and also benefiting learners who should not be benefiting in the system, whether they are below age or over age, So that will be critical for us. So we fully take that recommendation by the Auditor General. And then I must say, we have already started the work in that area. Perhaps maybe it was just for us to really pace up the work that we have already undertaken. Another area, Honorable King was raising the issue of the National Artisan Moderation Board, NAM, as well as World Skills, as to when they will be brought into the mainstream of fiscals being funded by the fiscals directly, of which an area quite very critical, especially if we as the country are saying that we are targeting to be producing 30,000 artisans by 2030 per annum. So it means then, therefore, there is no way that the national fiscals ignore funding in our mainstream funding regime. Because now it's dependent in the main from the National Skills Fund. So it's an area that we are discussing, Honorable King, internally, as well as with the National Treasury to ensure that finally these areas of artisan development are funded through the national fiscals. Also, I know Honorable Manani so was asking as to whether the trade test centers that we are referring to, do we have memorandum of understanding or agreements with the industry? And obviously, I know my colleague who long left the department when I would say we're training artisans, and then he'll just tell me, no, we do not train an artisan at TVET College. The artisan is trained in a workplace because that's where most of training of the artisan or apprentice is taking place. So this work that we are doing with our TVET colleges, you'll see that mostly we've targeted those trades which are required in terms of the national infrastructure plan of the country, those 13 trades. So we targeted those ones in this TVET college campuses across the country. So obviously now it means there is an access, especially by our young people in terms of trade testing, and also obviously working with employers in terms of training our artisans. I normally make the point that in the main, if you look into our achievement of artisans, more than 60% of them, they are from the private sector. They are not from a public sector, your state-owned enterprises, or state-owned companies, as it were, Eskom, Transnet, and so on, defense. In the main, they are from the private sector. So working closely with the private sector, and also we've just said, obviously, the engagement strategic the summit with the industry, with the social partners, is our TVET sector, of which that was also one of those great events that we've hosted as the department. So the other area, I should think just to this area, Honorable Masasi, because now I'm reminded we're just having the Statistician General attended the Wholesale and Retail CETA conference in Cape Town. That was last week. So the impact, especially with regard to increased numbers in our institutions, whether it's our universities and our TVET sector, the impact that we are making in our economy. Because the Statistician General was saying after he presented his presentation during the conference, so he was making this point to say, now we can see the numbers that we are getting in terms of the Kota Labour Force Survey, that education, and education is reducing opportunities of anyone to be unemployed. You look into those with tertiary qualifications, the unemployed graduates, the unemployment is at 10%. Those with TVET qualifications and the like, unemployment is some at 23%. So it means then, therefore, investing in education, they will be able to deal with those who are not in employment, education, and training. You know that number is somewhere now at 3.6 million, as well as young people between the ages of 15 to 24 who are unemployed in our country. So that is why when you make the call to us to say the numbers, they must increase the numbers in our institutions because it makes sense. It's only then that we'll be able to deal with unemployment, poverty, and inequality, amongst others. I should think then, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, at this point in time, I can pause there, not unless maybe from the Chairperson as well as Honourable Members of the Portfolio Committee, there are some serious issues you would wish to raise. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, DDG Mbalo, and to all colleagues in the department for your responses. I don't know, let me perhaps quickly check with members if there's any member who really feels that their question was not answered. If not, allow me to close the meeting with just a brief highlight of some of the discussions that we had. Okay, I don't see any member's hand go up or any mic that's open. Honourable Olivier?
Yes, I was saying we're fine, Chair.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. And I want to apologize to colleagues for my husky voice. I think the change in season is not treating me so well. Honourable Members, it really has indeed been Dr. Lewin was saying, a very insightful full day of engagements. And I really want to acknowledge the commitment that members have had throughout the day to this particular process. Others could have given up at some point and said, how do we sit in committee the whole day? But testament to the commitment of these members to ensure that the sector truly fulfills its mandate. Members have been here and committed and have contributed really meaningfully to this particular process of reviewing and making recommendations towards the budget and the plans of the department and its entities. I think, Honourable Members, one thing that does come out strongly from the engagements that we've had today is a matter of having greater synergy, integration, cohesion, cooperation within the sector at large. We've spoken about that in various elements, so it's come out strongly in terms of funding. First of all, in ensuring that there's sustainable funding across the sector, in addressing the inequalities or inequities between the funding of various programs within the department, still on the table is the concern around funding for the CET program and, of course, funding for the TVET program, considering the massive gap between funding for those programs and that of the university program. Of course, not advocating for a decrease in the university program budget, but an increase, a just and equitable increase in the TVET and CET programs in order for us to effectively and efficiently use those particular programs in contributing to eradicating unemployment and inequality and poverty within our communities. And so that has been a massive, observation and area of concern in terms of how we address those matters moving forward. And we are hoping that the student funding report will give some suggestions or recommendations on how we can address that. And we note the update that Minister gave in the meeting regarding where the work around the student funding report currently is, and he's indicated that he's currently consulting with various stakeholders. And we've also alluded to the fact that perhaps stakeholders such as the Financial and Fiscal Commission should be
consulted in the ongoing consultations of the department. We really want to implore on the department to meet its intended targets of concluding its work of consultations on the student funding report. I think it's very important that we expedite our work on this to really bring a solution to this crisis. For me, I think the biggest thing is the stability that perhaps the recommendations coming out of this report could give to the sector. Stability that if we do not ensure has a direct impact on the core mandate and core business of the PSET system, which is to ensure citizens of this country attain skills and knowledge in order for them to be active participants of our economy and contribute to the development of our country. And so, we really implore on the department to ensure that it meets its targets in relation to that. Still on the theme of integration, there's then this concern around a lack of integration in terms of information within the department, and there the committee strongly suggested that the department urgently develops an integrated information management system, and that the department institutes an investigation into this particular malpractice, and this should be done within perhaps a month after we adopt the BRRR report as a committee. And so we also hope that coming out of the investigations on this particular malpractice, we hope that the AG will be able to provide some of the data that they have that has really surfaced some of these concerns around, we don't want to call it double dipping, but this concern that is coming out of the CETAs. And so we would need that the AG submits detailed information to ourselves and to the department on how each CETA has contributed to the findings in relation to the value add work of the department. So then we would also need the department in relation to this integrated information management system, Mr. Mbalo, that we want you to develop, to perhaps put together a plan on how you could go about developing this integrated information management system. You see, we want to be very clear so that Sati, they must know. So we must first ask you to bring to us your plan on how you can put together this particular integrated information management system. And I think this particular plan, it would be important for it to also have time frames, as we always say. I know the last time when you came to us and you presented the master skills plan, in as much as it was not matured, in terms of where it ought to go, it also still afforded us an opportunity to shape how we'd want that master skills, what we would want to be incorporated in that master skills plan. But we really hope that within the next 3 months after we adopt the BRRR report, that you will be able to give us a plan on how you can go about in terms of putting together an integrated information management system. And then, of course, we must, raise as an area of concern the issue of the dual registration of students at universities. There's something that was also raised by, NASFES as of great concern, particularly on how universities claim that the funding allocated to those students who could, you know, be dual registered. And so we would implore on the department to investigate that and provide a report to us within the next, let's say, 3 months. I hope that's fair. I actually think, I say in the next, where are we now? We're in October. So I think in the next month, because those are some of the matters that we need to be alert to as we go into the 2023 academic year. Those are things that we need to be able to find the root cause of this to ensure that in the next academic year, we don't have the same pattern reoccurring. So I would like to say that in relation to the dual registration, we would appreciate for the department to give us a report within the next month. Perhaps we could try and link it to the conversation we will be having on state of readiness. And then we would also implore on the department to share with us as soon as the feasibility studies, the reports on the feasibility studies on both universities are ready, to share those reports with us immediately and to finalize those reports as soon as possible. There was great excitement when we announced that these institutions would be built. And so we must not lose the momentum. We must not get to a point where people start to ask, where are these universities that you promised us? So let us try our best, colleagues, to ensure that we are able to conclude on these reports, and so that we can look for the money. You know, we need to look for the money because they're saying the money is not there. So I don't know, but maybe the report will give us a greater context. But we need to go look for the money. We need to get these institutions up. There is a demand for access to education. Young people do want to go to school. Abantu abadala, honorable yabo, abana 65, so we need to ensure that these institutions are up and running. And of course, there's also the need for us to enforce the provision of the white paper on the ring-fencing of CETA bursary allocations to NSFAS to prevent duplication of these particular services. And any other bursaries that exist within government, you know, of course this must be coupled with a strengthening of the administration of NSFAS, which would inevitably be coupled with the financial or funding shortfall in terms of administration, funding for administration that NSFAS has indicated to the committee on several occasions. But ultimately, in principle, we would want to see greater synergy in terms of that particular need. And then in relation to the four CETAs, construction CETA, services CETA, WNR CETA and in CETA, my honourable members, we have agreed that we would have to ensure that they present to us their audit action plans as part of the committee program, and the minister to also perhaps be present in that particular in those particular engagements in terms of the in bringing us into confidence as a committee on the audit action plans of the department and these particular entities and the implementation thereof. There's also a need for us honourable members to review that in the reviewing of DHET's organogram that the TVET College Financial Management Units and SCM be reviewed and capacitated, that we review the reporting regulations for TVET colleges to ensure that they are at the level of PFMA requirements in terms of financial reporting, and to standardize policy development, implementation, and reporting in TVET colleges. I know, DG Zungu, when we look at, for example, issues relating to sexual harassment, a number of resolutions that had come out of the recent summit that we had. There's a lot of policy work that we need to do in sanitizing how we deal with those matters across TVET colleges, even in terms of you know, how people are paid across TVET colleges. And then consequence management, honorable members, is something that has come out strongly again from our meeting. PDG Mbalo, officials who have contributed to irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure in the NSF and in CETAs must be held to account. There must be consequence management. Funds must be recovered. You know, people can't think that, yeah, no, we'll get away with it. No, people can no longer get away with it. Citizens of this country are tired of being taken for a ride. And so we really need to work harder and stronger, honorable members and colleagues, on ensuring consequence management as part of our collective yet differentiated roles within this accountability ecosystem that we find ourselves within. Councils need to hold their managements to account. The department needs to hold institutions to account. We need to hold the department and institutions to account. You know, the AG needs to be afforded its part. So everybody within the ecosystem needs to play its part in contributing to strengthening the sector. I think I've spoken to the matters around student funding, and we also urgently want to see the report coming out of the investigations on the remuneration of vice chancellors and senior management at institutions. The committee would like to have as soon as it is finalized. Honourable members, this is just but a summary of the engagements we have had this morning and this afternoon. I'm sorry I've taken so long to summarize. It is indicative of the lengthy meeting that we have had, and really want to. There might be other key observations and recommendations that I may have left out, and I'm hoping that the Secretariat would have noted those and will include them in the report. I think, honourable members and colleagues, this brings us to the end of our meeting. We will be meeting again on Friday to deal with the entities that ought to present to us on Friday, and we really want to encourage DDG Mvalo, for you, I don't know if you'll still be acting on Friday, but for senior you know, leadership of the department to be present as we receive these reports from the department, from entities. Honourable members, and colleagues, that then at 6 o'clock, and that brings to the end of our meeting. Thank you very much. We'll see each other on Friday.
Thank you. Long live the chair.
Honorable Letsie.
Yeah. No. Let's deliver.
Yeah, we will. We are delivering. We are delivering.
Yeah. It can't be that all our TVET colleges are submitting annual statements that have material funding. No.
They are delivering, honorable.
We have to give me the salaries that will match those of the CAs, honorable bullets here. So,
No.
I'll get
you. Even if you hire me as a CFO, I will get the financial statement right. This one is not about money. It's about people wanting to do what they want.
Yeah.
What?